you know, it's a huge opportunity. It's a huge opportunity. And
yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that if you take it by the horns when it's still young, even though I say young, it's huge. But like in New Zealand, it's young. And it's one of those things that if you jump on that train now, yeah, you never know where it will go. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canon Conversations, the show where I sit down with some of the top photographers in the industry so that you can become a better photographer. On today's show, we are talking all about TikTok, the platform that you have most likely heard of, but probably aren't using to promote your work. Well, that changes today because we are going to be going through everything you need to know about TikTok, how to use it to promote your work, and why you would even want to. And to guide us on our journey today, we have professional photographer and TikToker, Jono Cratley. Jono, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, bro. Thank you so much. Huge honor to be on here. Awesome. Really sick.
Wicked, man. Fantastic. Likewise. Before we jump in on the topic, would you mind giving us all a bit of a background on you and your photography?
Yeah, man. Yep. So my photography journey started probably about 7 years ago now. Quite a fun kind of like little thing. My dad picked up, I was studying something completely different, going on a completely different career path, and I picked up a camera. It was my dad's camera, picked it up, and I was like, I need to change what I'm doing. And I just, you know, at the beginning it was a bit of a hobby. And it was just like, yeah, going up into the park and just trying to shoot some stuff and seeing how it goes. And then, I eventually, decided to pursue it as like a career and actually study it as well. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice, man. Fantastic. And any, I guess, particular sort of like niche of photography that sort of caught your interest first?
Yeah. So my background kind of comes, to be honest, like the very, very, very beginning was actually motorsport, so speedway. I shot a lot of dirt track racing, so the guys that go around in circles on the dirt. And I was shooting just stuff that was really different. I kind of decided to... I wasn't an official photographer. And then one day I just decided to rock up with a 70-200 and kind of put on a high-vis vest and see what happens. and eventually I just started posting stuff and you know, caught people's eyes because just it was a little bit different. A lot of the kind of the sports photographers that you see in Speedway just... you know, shooting sports, which is very different kind of when you're shooting it more of an artistic way. So yeah, it caught people's eyes and from there I started doing a little bit more commercial stuff. I studied it, so I've just finished my 4-year degree in a Bachelor of Fine Arts, so I kind of have a fine art background as well. And now I'm doing quite a lot of weddings as well, so a whole heap of different you know, also the landscape stuff and I guess a lot of the kind of the landscape stuff that I've been shooting kind of trickles into the styles that I have with other stuff as well, which is really cool. It's really cool to be able to take different styles and put it into your other work as well, which gives a unique
Thing. I mean I think it's a pretty common story for a lot of photographers starting out, where you've got lots of different little aspects where you're sort of dipping your toe into the world of professional photography and lots of different little aspects. It starts in one niche and then you know try weddings and then other bits and pieces come in here and there, and it's all, and they all influence each other and sort of get your own unique style that way. That's really
100%,
cool.
100%. Yeah, man. No, so that's kind of how it started. And from now I've just come back from overseas, so I've been I was living in Sweden for 7 months, which it was also a really, really interesting experience, and I can, you know, relate that to the TikTok stuff afterwards. Spent like 2 weeks in quarantine, and then, you know, now it's been like 3 months since I've been back. So just trying to, you know, get back out there and kind of start it again in a way, and kind of have a clean slate, which is cool as well. It's really interesting. It's been good.
Cool, man. Wicked. And before we do go into, you know, the main topic, which is TikTok. I'd love to talk through Instagram, which is a platform that I think a lot of people will be far more familiar with, and that you have quite a significant, presence on Instagram. Would you mind talking through, how you use Instagram, your various accounts, how you built your following, how you use it to promote yourself, and then we'll kind of transition from there into how TikTok's a bit different.
Sure. Yeah. So I think Instagram for me, I started it ages ago as well. And it was kind of one of those things where I actually started it even before before photography. I kind of started it when, you know, we had those really weird, everyone graded it really weird, and we all had those like coffee shots and like the kind of the fitness, you know, like everyone posting their like, I don't know, like just the really, when it was cringy.
It looks like every photo has been shot through like a piece of blue acetate or something.
And actually, really, really interestingly enough, it's funny that, like, just, you know, I don't want to go into TikTok just yet, but just to say that TikTok has been treated like that as well, in a way, very, very closely to how Instagram used to be treated, you know, and then everyone was like, started doing their cups, and everyone was like, oh, this is a bit weird. And then now it's Instagram, and Instagram's massive, you know, so like, it's cool. In terms of my Instagram journey, I honestly, I would have to say that Instagram is the main and biggest reason for a lot of my inspiration, as well as, you know, just seeing what other people are doing. And also for my, like my best friends, they all come from Instagram. So I think that like that community is huge. Instagram for me, it actually changed my life. I got to say that like a lot of the people that I know that are closest to me right now are through there. So I used Instagram at the very beginning to just kind of, I was like, oh yeah, give it a go, see what happens. And because it's such a, you know, especially the kind of the landscape travel lifestyle photographers, everyone knows everyone, even though you've never met them, you know them because of Instagram, which is really cool. And there's that, there is that community, you know? And, I think, we started that, and then, basically also tried to, you know, kind of do the New Zealand roamers as well. I don't know if I should jump into that now, but, the New Zealand roamers kind of came about, basically because I thought, you know, there's this huge community of photographers, and the New Zealand roamers actually started with 18 of us. So it was 18 of kind of the top, what we would consider like the lifestyle kind of guys that are, you know, Liam, we had like Sophie Piercy, all those guys that are kind of doing that sort of stuff. And we wanted to basically create a community where we made people aware of going outside. And I think a lot of people, it's really interesting, a lot of people would write to me at the beginning and say, hey, oh, so jealous about the places you go to. And in my mind, I'm going like, hey, it's actually not that hard. Like, a lot of people are very confined to their kind of like house, and they're like, okay, I'm comfortable where I am. But I mean, in New Zealand, you're like, I don't know, in Auckland, you're literally 15 minutes away from the beach, you know, like, so it's kind of, it's one of those things that's like, we wanted to kind of create a bit of an awareness that said, okay, it's not actually that hard to go out and create really cool photographs. And these are some examples. And so what we did is we created this feed with kind of the best photography around New Zealand. And then also some of our stuff that we had, and kind of used it to also have like Insta meets and all that kind of stuff. So we had two Insta meets, one in Piha, which was really cool. One in the South Island. It was a really, really good opportunity to, you know, make people more aware of that community, as opposed to just making it really clicky, which I think, you know, there's that, you know, there's also that thing that, you know, people are want to do it, but they also maybe don't want to write to people and say, hey, would you be keen to go on a mission or whatever. It's So that was a really cool, it was amazing how it grew, and it was just a really cool thing to see people interact with it and just be excited to go out and just, you know, kind of rough it a little bit and create some cool content. So
Have you, I guess, seen any, like, what's the relationship between that kind of content where it's clearly sort of self-actualized, there's no like company like paying you to do it, and it's more about like community and building a following and stuff, like how is that kind of content related to your I guess professional work?
Honestly, I think a lot of the New Zealand roamers idea was for it to be a passion project. So it wasn't really, I think we really just, the idea was to create an awareness, as opposed to making money out of it. Because you know yourself as well, how, the kind of guys that are, you know, I don't know, you can talk about like Sam Calder and all those guys that are like, you know, making, racking it in from traveling. It's so hard to do. It's so competitive. And I think for us, it was more of a thing of, we were doing it anyway. The guys that we were hanging out with, we were like going out and doing missions and being like, oh, let's do this. We were doing it anyway. So we're like, why not document it, put it on an Instagram feed and get, and promote it to, you know, get people to do the same thing. And through that, I think business-wise, through that, we, you know, sponsorship opportunities and stuff arose as well to create and also to kind of collaborate with different brands, which was really cool actually, because it was a, it is now a really tight-knit group of us. It's so yeah, like Caleb Adventure and Kiwi, Guy Hassler, Liam Vanderbeck, which we had on the show, you had on the show, and Billy Visuals. So he, so it's five of us, and it's really cool because we've done missions together, adventures together, and it's just been a really, really good time to, yeah, we can discuss everything, discuss business side of things, and then just like just be mates, and that's always awesome. Just inspires that. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Yeah, because I think that's, it's definitely, it's this sort of amorphous thing, having a following like that, where it has all these sort of sideline benefits, where it's like gives you an excuse to make content if you've got an audience who are interested in looking at it. It's a networking opportunity, getting to like go out and make cool stuff with cool people. You know, that's all network building. And then you get things like sponsorship opportunities that come up. So building a following on social media, even if it's not related to your business, like a lot of people think like, I want my, you know, my photography business page to like have a big following so I can get work. But just having those other, like just a following in general is an asset in itself in all these different sorts of ways. And I think that's sort of something for people to get in their head as we start to talk about TikTok and why you might want to start to build a following of it on it, you know, at the sort of ground level. I say ground level because it's, TikTok's been around for a while, but like we were talking earlier, it is in its infancy in the way that Instagram was in its infancy. And I think a lot of photographers would like think, oh, imagine if I got in on Instagram all those years ago when it was so easy. Well, you can do that now with TikTok. And so I guess now this is, we'll use this as an opportunity to talk about TikTok. And where did you first hear about it?
Yeah. So TikTok, honestly, man, was overseas. And ironically enough, that's, I guess, why we're having this conversation as well, is because you don't hear about it here as much. I think maybe Gen Z kind of like generation where, you know, 14 to kind of 24-year-olds, that's kind of what their market, target market is. I heard about TikTok originally through a mate in Sweden, when I went to Sweden. And after that, when it actually became real, is I started working for a social media marketing agency that dealt purely in TikTok. So that in itself tells you already that people are making a lot of money, a ton of money, off marketing it. So what this business did, and this is again, I guess you can relate this to photography as well, but what they were doing specifically, and I can kind of explain the business plan, what they kind of had was they used record labels to promote songs through TikTok. Okay, so for example, let's say there was, TikTok is all about music, right? TikTok is huge because of the music. And people that go viral make songs go viral, right? So what we did, I was a campaign manager for this business, for this company. It was a startup business. And they grew so quickly that they were one of the fastest growing businesses in Sweden, which is, and the owners are 21 years old. Like, it was insane, right? And what these guys did is they worked with Sony, they worked with all the big, because it's just, it's something that they became aware of, and they're like, oh, there's actually a need for it. And they were like, hey, how about we create a social media marketing agency around reaching out to influencers on TikTok that are big, that can make moves, that can move like viral content, right? Mm-hmm. You can create viral content. And what they did was they reached out to influencers and said, we can pay you this much. But what we want to do is we want to create these campaigns. So we will tell you the creative side of it. And we were in contact with the label. And the label said, yep, this is what we need. And they then created the content. And because of that, we created, or this business created, viral music. There was music that was nothing before, and because of TikTok, it became number one. And and you can imagine that for artists, what that does, that gives artists a huge leap forward because it makes them money. Basically, you go on Spotify and the streams go up. So that was the game. The game was how many like viral music, how many viral videos you can make and keep it at a lower cost. So that was the game. That was what we were dealing with. So that's where it became real for me. That's where it kind of became, oh, wow, okay, people are making a lot of money off this and actually using it to promote themselves. They're using it to promote music. So I found out about it basically, it would have been maybe, half a year ago now. Which was awesome. It was really, really insane, realistic. Because at the beginning, I thought it was a bit of a joke. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. You guys are making money off TikTok. It's funny. You know,
yeah, but you're totally right. There's songs that would have been nothing before, like people might have heard Lemonade or Mood, these like, you know, chart topping songs. They're from TikTok. They blew up because of TikTok, because people used them in their videos and those videos went viral. And through the nature of like what TikTok is, seeing video after video, and it's so trend based, you end up hearing the same songs over and over again, so it gets stuck in your head, and then, you know, you end up singing these songs, and you download it, then you stream it, and then it goes from there. Absolutely. Let's sort of, I guess, maybe sort of take a real step back real quick, because we might have sort of run away on a few people, and let's sort of, I guess, do real quick TikTok 101. How would you describe TikTok as a platform, and especially how it's different to the likes of Instagram?
Yeah, man. So TikTok, maybe what I can do is at the beginning just kind of throw out a few stats on kind of this platform and how big it is. At the moment, there are 850 million users on this TikTok, on TikTok platform, and it is the number one most downloaded app on the App Store. So, you know, above Instagram, And TikTok, if you can make something go viral on your first, so what TikTok does is TikTok will actually boost your first post. Really interesting. Not a lot of people know about that, but what it'll do is if you can create a viral piece of content on your first post, you will be very successful. And there are people that go viral. And honestly, it's TikTok is a monster. TikTok is its own monster as opposed to Instagram. Instagram is also a monster. And the algorithm of TikTok, the algorithm of Instagram is so hard to figure out. And it has been for so many years. TikTok has so many, because it has so many people on there, the views, you can average 300-400 views, which is nothing. If you try and do that on Instagram, it's still super hard to do, you know, as opposed to your following, as opposed to your ratio of following to your views, right?
And I think that, because that comes down to the architecture of TikTok, right? Where the homepage of TikTok is like the discovery page of Instagram, which no one really uses. But like TikTok as a platform puts, like, it doesn't put the content you follow in front of you first. It puts other content that you don't follow, that it thinks you might like, in front of you first. And that's how you can get so many different people, and the huge volume of people seeing your content is because the homepage is not stuff that you necessarily follow. Correct. TikTok's just throwing videos at you that it thinks you might like.
Exactly. So TikTok has the For You page, right? So For You is this huge, it's even a hashtag, like For You on TikTok has billions and billions of like, I think it has like 200-300 billion videos made in that name, right? So it's kind of like, it's what it'll do at the beginning is it'll throw, like you said, it'll throw things at you, and then eventually TikTok learns what you like watching, which is crazy. The algorithm is insane on TikTok. And basically the idea is you have to find a niche similar to Instagram. If you can find a niche that you know people are going to be interested in, then you have a very high success rate, because it's kind of a thing that, and also being unique. That's the idea as well, is you have to be unique. And also you have to have something within the 30, so like in terms of TikTok 101, within the first 3 seconds of your video, you need to grab people's attention. And what that does is it tells TikTok, it'll tell the algorithm that people are watching it for 3 seconds, and then it'll actually put your video on the For You page of other people. And that's when it goes viral. Because in the end, that's not how Instagram works. Instagram works, you know, you got the hashtags, but to get it out to a lot of people is quite hard. TikTok does that for you, which is awesome. Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Again, it's not, and now I'm not saying that TikTok is easy at all, but the thing is, it is a lot easier than trying to figure out how to get viral on Instagram.
Yeah, it feels easier. And like, to give people an idea, my first TikTok, and funny you mentioned that they promote the first video really highly. So my first video, actually, no, it wasn't my first, it was my second video went viral. So like most of the videos on my page, I've only got like six or seven. I've just been doing some sort of like testing. Like, most have between sort of a few, like 400 to a few thousand views. Then there's one video that's got 74,000 views, you know, like 7,000 likes, 50 comments, and it's just a video of me filming an Instagram story vertically on my C200, like using like a big fat cinema camera vertically, and that just happened to like trigger something in some people, and then it went viral. And then none of my other videos went viral, just that one.
Exactly. Because it's unique, it's different, and people are like, oh man, like, what's this guy doing with this? Like, you know, so like, if you can do that, then it's good. The other thing that like TikTok is actually really also really that makes things go viral is if you can bring, and actually this is in business in general, if you can offer value, then people are going to use it, right? So with TikTok, a lot of people are offering value, and kind of that's actually kind of where my kind of TikTok is aimed towards. Is you know, we go on adventures, and it's like, why not just share what we do and where we go and show people the images that you can create from that place, right? And so people are like, oh my goodness, like, I never knew that you could go to Piha and you could get a photo like that, for example, right? Yeah. Or you can go to this spot. And then so people save it. And because people, so on TikTok, when you like the post, it saves it for you. You would know this as well, because you probably have seen, you have these saved posts from liking them, right? And so you almost use it as a, you know, people use it as a base to then go and look back and be like, oh, okay, oh, there's a place in Queenstown that looks like this. You don't necessarily tell them exactly where it is, but what it does is it kind of gives that hook of like, oh, I'm actually curious about where this is, so I'm going to save it and see if I can go there and take the same photo. You know, so it's cool, like it works really well, and I kind of like, that was the idea, you know.
It's almost got an element of Pinterest in that people like are sort of saving little ideas to little bins to use in the future. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, I think it's probably about time that we start talking about your TikTok videos. And like you mentioned, you're going more on the sort of the value add basis. So yeah, let's talk through, I guess, what made you sort of land on doing these sites. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about like exactly what types of videos you make, and then what made you land on doing those sorts of videos, and particular only doing those sorts of videos, because your videos all have a specific kind of sort of little bubble, little niche. And what made you sort of stick in that sort of zone?
Sure. So maybe I can go back to like what made my content go viral. I had one video that now has, I think, 800,000 views. And that was really interesting. I was doing TikTok for a while. I was trying it out and seeing, and you know, maybe it got like, maybe got a few thousand, maybe got 1,000, 2,000 here and there. And it wasn't very regular. Right. And so what I decided to do, and this is actually really funny, because it was exactly when I came back from Sweden. I went out, we did a mish down in Taranaki, and I was like, oh, this, you know, the Taranaki road that's really, really famous, that kind of like you can shoot a 7200 and you can kind of make Taranaki massive in the background. Right? Yeah. And one thing you have to realize about TikTok is the people that are on there aren't professional photographers, or there may be, but the majority of them are not, you know, people that are kind of doing this as a career. And I thought to myself, okay, let me see if I can create something on this road that would make people want to be like, oh my goodness, I live there. Mm. I've never seen that before, ever. Mm. Okay. And that was the video that made it go viral. And that's actually the video that's now made, you know, my TikTok keep on and do it, like, be what it is, basically. And it's crazy. I think it has over 1,000 shares. It's all this kind of, that made me realize, that one TikTok helped me realize the algorithm in itself and what people like seeing. And it was amazing to actually use it, even just as a, not necessarily just because it was cool to see the numbers, but it's also cool to see in a more of an analytic perspective and to see how to get people and you know, hook them up, you know? And I used this kind of viral piece of music with a drop in it. And then I had guy walking on the road, also in bare feet, again, that's also another thing that people are like, oh my goodness, that's so Kiwi. There's a dude in the middle of the road carrying like a camera, a really nice camera, and like shooting Taranaki. And then I was like, oh, and this is the photo. So we zoomed all the way out, and then it was a photo of like Taranaki, and then guy really small in the foreground, right? And and that was kind of what started it all off. And there I started realizing, okay, people really enjoy seeing adventures. People really like seeing the before and after of the images that were created there. So my kind of idea, or like what I was trying to do, was try to get people to, like I said before, to see these places and to be able to then say, ooh, like basically get people tagging their mates and saying, hey, road trip. And then they'll be like, oh, so sick. And then they'll tag people and they'll save it. And it kind of ends up being this big role and kind of, you know, that was basically the idea and how it all started. So,
Do you find you, I guess, feel a pressure to keep making very similar types of videos to sort of keep hooking on those same, I guess, like audience interests? And do you have ideas for other videos that you think that probably wouldn't do so well on TikTok?
100%, man, 100%. Honestly, there's so many videos that I've tried. I'm honestly like half of my week is just trying to create this content and see if, you know, if it works, if it doesn't work. And then sometimes it won't work at all. It'll flop and I'll just delete it and I'll see if, and then I'll realize, okay, this doesn't work because of this. For example, I put on, this is kind of an example just of something that did really badly. And it kind of, it makes complete sense when you realize why. I basically did a video that showed, the adventure tunes. I don't know. You get adventure bangers, you know, these kind of like drops music where you go, like you go on road trips, you put it on your stereo and you have these like real good bangers. Right. And I put that on there. I was like, okay, top 5 tunes to listen to in your car when you're on a road trip. And it flopped. It did horribly. And in my mind, I'm going like, oh, that's really weird, because the people that I'm reaching out to are people that want to go on adventures. But then I also realized that those kind of people that are wanting music are usually into like DJs, or they're into, and those are the people that I was going to find out what content they were doing, you know? So like, there has to be that direct link to what your audience wants. And there is that pressure. There is 100% that pressure to try and create content that, you know, you might think, nah, whatever. And then actually it does, you know, it does well because of that.
And where you, I guess, are different and can add value, because like you're saying, people are going to go to the likes of DJs for music recommendations, but they're going to go to you for unique, you know, photographic locations recommendations. And that's where you can, you know, add value in the way that other people can't.
Exactly. And also, you know, the idea is also to kind of be a bit tricky and just not really give the complete location of it. And that's kind of also like, you know, there are also spots that we don't want to always, you know, the spots that people know about that also, you know, if you told them about it, you'd get a lot of, you know, and it's kind of
a little bit of secret.
And you probably know about that as well. And it's kind of, and I actually agree with that. I don't think everyone should know about all these like amazing locations. But I think that if you make it available, and people that are usually the people that will go there and try and find it, also the people that will respect it, you know? So like, it's kind of, it's awesome.
A little bit of a barrier just to, you know, weed out some of, some of the people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In terms of the interactions on TikTok, have you found, like, how do they differ from those on Instagram?
Now, do you mean in terms of comments or?
Yeah, I guess comments. I mean, we've already kind of talked about the pure numbers because it's getting shared out to people who aren't following you. But I think because I found that certainly translates to the comments as well, similar in the way that YouTube does, where YouTube will spit out recommendations to channels that you don't follow, and then so you'll get a lot of people interacting who aren't your kind of like, I guess, core following, in the way that you're like Instagram following are following you for a reason. Yeah, have you noticed like the, I guess, the comments or sorts of engagements on your TikTok videos that are sort of different to Instagram?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think the majority, I feel like the people that follow me on my Instagram are almost like, you could say like they're like the diehards of that niche. Does that make sense? So it's more of like a, I feel like you kind of get a bit of a fruit salad on TikTok where you get, which actually is kind of good because you get a lot more traffic. You get tons more traffic. And as soon as, and it works similarly in terms of Instagram, when you start commenting on posts, it puts it up, right? So when you, when you're putting stuff, like the comments I'm getting on TikTok, like there's so many different kinds of people. There's a lot of, the thing with a lot of comments is you also get hate for it. So you'll get a lot of people saying, oh, but that's not really the place. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's not, but, well, it is, but it's the shot from there. So for example, I'll post a photo, for example, of, there's a place here in Auckland called the Manukau Heads. And it was basically a shot of the light. I was standing on the lighthouse looking out to the city. And there was this really crazy, like, cloud inversion up there. And it was like, oh, it was awesome. And one of the, like, the comments were like, wait, but this isn't Manukau here. This isn't, like, the lighthouse. That's the Sky Tower. And I'm like, yeah, but... So you'll get people that will, like, literally just take the piss out of you for, you know, for fame. Or just trying to, like, actually ruin certain things. Yeah. But it's fine, yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot of trolls and a lot of random
comments, for sure. But honestly, I always write down, and I always at the bottom, I'm always like, "Hey, thanks for the engagement." Like, you know, just like,
pumping up my channel,
cheers, bro. Like, good.
love it. I mean, I guess we've kind of talked about it a little bit, sort of back and forward, but maybe let's just try and, I guess, solidify what you feel makes good TikTok content compared to other platforms. Say there's, you know, photographers who are really familiar with Instagram, with posting their photos, and even like videos, like even doing like behind the scenes stories and stuff, like how can we sort of translate that sort of, you know, familiarity into something that's different for TikTok?
This maybe, this can kind of go maybe towards, you know, the people that are on Instagram and creating content and whatever. But something to always be aware of when you're on TikTok is that beautiful content will not always do well. So Instagram is very different in that sense, is that you can create a stunning image and it's a huge banger and everyone's like, oh my goodness, this is insane. People on TikTok might not care about that. Because that's not the people that you're really hitting. In a sense, it's a different kind of platform. It's a platform where people are almost, it's actually a really, really hard thing to put into words, but it's almost
because,
like,
it's video, so because it's a video platform as opposed to Instagram, which is more heavily weighted towards photography.
Correct, yes.
And so you have to engage differently, and people are on there for predominantly entertainment. So you have to entertain them. And for the most part, just a beautiful photograph isn't enough entertainment. There has to be something, there has to be a story around it.
Exactly. And you have to also think that, like, 40% of people on there, and that's actually a bit of a stat as well, is that 40% of people that are on there are between the ages of 16 and 24. So above that, it's kind of like you get predominantly people that are younger generation as well. So it kind of... A 16-year-old's going to be like, oh, cool photo. And then, like, and not, there's no value for them in a sense as well, you know? And even, like, and most people that are, you know, looking at a photograph will not be like, oh, that's an awesome grade, or that's a, that looks so moody, or it's, you know, it's like, it's not like that. It's more of like the majority of people that are on my TikTok are going there because they want to find places to road trip. But through that, I found this outlet to be then able to like promote my work, because I'm in the end promoting the images I'm taking, even though it may be something in the back of their minds, it's still something that is going viral. Does that make sense? So it's still being, it's still being pushed out there, which I think is, you know, a really cool thing. But in terms of, like content, you need things that will, in the first 3 seconds, will literally grab someone and hook them and be like, oh, I want to keep watching this video. And so there is that really fine balance. For example, if you're posting, there are people, for example, that will post really cinematic videos. Okay. So they'll post literally stuff that is like, 1920, 1080, but if you flip your phone, then you'll have this stunning like image. That stuff doesn't do well, because it's, it's really interesting. It's just like really strange monster. And I think what you can do though, is once you are almost creating stuff that's viral, then you can start moving towards maybe more specifically what you enjoy doing, because then you have the numbers. Then people are going to start, because of the fact that they follow you and the fact that you're kind of there, you know, the person that they go to see cool content, they'll start sharing that stuff as well. So I think at the beginning, you really need to do stuff almost more towards, you know, the TikTok side of things, which is fair enough.
I mean, because it's with the fact that the platform is so like is so much in its infancy, and you can kind of play the system easier than you could on the likes of Instagram and stuff. Now is the opportunity to do all the tricks in the book to try and like build your following and figure, you know, things out. And that sounds, that might sound a bit like depressing to people, but it's actually a really interesting creative challenge, because there's so many different ideas and trends and different ways of thinking on TikTok that can affect your work in a really positive way. Like I've started incorporating TikTok trends, like from the video side of things, into my like wedding videos. Like there's this one really popular trend where people will like be in sort of like normal clothes and like just boring clothes, and then they'll like throw their shoe up, and then they'll kick their shoe, and as they kick their shoe, they're suddenly transformed into their like fancy going out gears or whatever. And I put that in one of my wedding videos where I had the bride like I had the bride in her like dressing gown. She threw her shoe up, she kicked it, and then she's fully dressed and fully make-upped in her wedding gown.
Epic.
And that's the kind of stuff that if you lean into those TikTok trends and lean into the different way of thinking on this platform, you can actually use it to grow yourself beyond simply 100%. Just doing the trends because why not?
100%. No, exactly. Why not? That's literally it. And I think like a lot of, it's quite interesting, a lot of brands and businesses are very, very scared to, you know, it's a huge opportunity. It's a huge opportunity. And it's kind of one of those things that if you take it by the horns when it's still young, even though I say young, it's huge. But like in New Zealand, it's young. And it's one of those things that if you jump on that train now, you never know where it will go. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
That was one of my questions, and I think your experience in Sweden is going to speak a lot to this. You already kind of have, but I guess your thoughts on whether the platform is worth your time investment, or whether you think it's just a fad, because I think that's a lot of that's what's stopping a lot of people sort of taking that leap to go, okay, you know, I need to sort of like apply a whole, you know, I've already filled up my weekly schedule, how much more time can I put into this platform that might disappear next year? And so would you mind talking a bit to that idea of TikTok just vanishing like a fad?
Honestly, man, like I feel like the fact that people are using it for business now, if you compare this to Vine, remember Vine is basically like is the little sister of what TikTok is now, right? And I think if you take the fact that people are using it for business, Vine wasn't really used for business much. And and I think it also died quite quickly. The fact that it's being used for business shows already that it's something that will stay for a while, because businesses are investing in it, and they're investing a lot of money, man. Like honestly, we were dealing with creators The top creator at the moment, Charli D'Amelio, like you probably heard the name, it's everywhere. She's now the first content creator that's hit 100 million followers on TikTok, which is insane. She charges $50,000 US for a video. And the thing is, people are paying that. Like people are the thing is, she hits like 13, 14 million views per video. Okay, so you can that's a huge investment, but it's also like you try and hit 14 million views on YouTube, like it won't happen. Like it's literally not gonna happen, you know?
Yeah, and because eyeballs are eyeballs at the end of the day, and eyeballs have value in the advertising world, and so that's yet another, you know, sort of checkbox reason as to why building a following for the sake of building a following, if it's a legitimate following, if it's a following within your niche that's genuine, it has value. It's an asset that you can add to your business.
100%. And I honestly, that's the way that I looked at it. I literally thought, I said to myself, okay, let's see how this goes. Let's try it out. Uniquely, like, and because of that, one of those videos went viral. I'm like, okay, now that this has happened, I need to see this, not necessarily as like, oh, I need to create another 15-second video and it's like 8 o'clock in the evening and I don't want to do anything. Look at it as a like a business opportunity, and there will be people that will reach out to you in New Zealand because it's unique, and it's a thing that in New Zealand, because it's so scarce and there are not a lot of influencers that are doing it, it's a huge opportunity. It's massive.
It really, really is. Like, as for all the people that, sort of discount it and stuff, and I think because the majority of people on there are younger, I mean, I heard like this viral piece of audio on TikTok a few times where it's like, to the older generation on TikTok who were born in the late 90s, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, what, me?
Late 90s? I got a decade on that. What are you talking about? Yeah, so, it, you know, you definitely sort of feel out of your depth being like over 30 on TikTok, but it is a legit platform.
Yeah,
it is legit, and it is growing in New Zealand 100%. So if you can get in now and take advantage of like the algorithm on easy mode before it, you know, becomes figured out like Instagram was figured out, you won't be kicking yourself 3 years from now.
Exactly. And there are people, I kid you not, I have talked to people about Instagram, about TikTok, talked to them about you know, yeah, I'm on TikTok, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing videos or whatever. Oh, that's funny. Like, oh, that's a bit weird. I would never want to do that because it's, and I'm like, mate, there are people making millions off it. And not to say do it because of the money, do it as a business opportunity, and do it because it's stimulating your brain in a different way. If you can, yes, there's a lot of like crap on there. There's a lot of like stuff that is completely goes viral because it's useless basically. And that's unfortunately the darker side of TikTok. And a lot of the people that are big on there are doing that. But why not create trends that are like useful, and you can create things that are that give value and become big for that, and that's when that's when it's going to grow, and that's TikTok. Yeah. It will grow.
Totally, man. And because I get what one story to kind of finish us on is that a lot of people, especially with photography businesses, think, oh, I don't want to do TikTok because I don't like the brand of TikTok associated with my brand. I feel like my brand's kind of like too good or too, you know, I'm going for like a higher end thing, and TikTok I feel is going to like sort of degrade my sort of image. There are some wedding photographer friends of mine over in Melbourne, Bottle Brush Films. They're on TikTok. They're doing amazingly well on there, just making these like cool, silly viral videos, like mostly of their like clips from their wedding films
behind the scenes,
and well, not even behind the scenes, like actual clips from like the actual wedding films, like sort of like funny bits of speeches and things like that. Sick. Like proper awesome things. They got from one of their videos 30 inquiries in a day.
There you go.
Proper inquiries through their website for people inquiring about their wedding film service from a TikTok video. So that tells you something about like it not being useless traffic, because I think that's again another thing people think, like, sure, it's traffic, but it's useless traffic. But it's not. If you build your niche correctly, if you appeal to the people you want to appeal to, it is real traffic.
And think about the people, just as also as like a side note as well. Think about the parents or the people that are watching this, just also as a thing as well. There are always like the second, almost like secondhand like eyes that are always like there are people watching. Now, you know, and there are people on there that are not under, like there are people that are older, and there are people that are there's grandmas on there doing stuff like you know, it's like it's not, I think to say that TikTok is cringy is exactly like what Instagram used to be. And I think it's almost like quite an old way of thinking, because you have to get almost with the times and to be able to, you know, become better at what you do in a sense as well, even like to think differently. And as a business opportunity, you have to do it. And it's like, yeah, it might be like, oh, I don't want to do this. This is going to look really weird in front of everyone. Yeah. When you're making money and racking it in because of that, then you can say, hey, like, you know,
It was worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic, man. Well, I think that's a great place for us to finish. And yeah, that was really cool. And hopefully that has shifted a few people's mindsets on the platform.
Hope so.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It was really interesting getting to chat with you quite in depth on TikTok.
Yeah, and it was good.
I kind of want to go back and figure out how many times we said the word TikTok.
You need to have like a counter at the top.
I'm not gonna It'll go too high. But yeah, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to get to meet you and chat.
Dude, like, really appreciate it. It was awesome. Really, really cool.
Okay, man.
Really appreciate it.
Fantastic. And it's actually, so I guess now would be a great time to mention that this is actually our last episode of the season. So this is going to be our final episode for season one.
Huge.
We'll be back in the new year with season two. Thank you guys so much all for watching. It's been really cool to do this project, try out something new with Canon. We've had some great feedback, and we're really looking forward to jumping into season two and getting to talk with and meet with some more awesome New Zealand photographers and videographers. So thanks again, Jono, and we'll see you guys next year. Bye. See you, bro.